We now bring to these microphones David James in a segment that we have weekly on the broadcast, Prophecy Today Weekend, for the purpose of having a conversation with David that will help us look at an important issue and understand we need to have some biblical answers to come to a conclusion as to how to deal with this particular issue. David, last week we discussed growing anti-Israel sentiment in the church, and which is largely the result of wrongly handling the Word of God. Now today we're going to discuss a group of men who are said to represent a new Christian Zionism, which would seem to be a pretty good thing on the surface, would it not?
Well, you're right, it would. And you would think that anything that would be the opposite of anything anti-Israel in the church would be a good thing. But there was an article came out this week on the Christian Post, and the title of it was New Christian Zionists Seek Distance from Wild, Crazy, Popular Apocalypticism, which, of course, there are some wild and crazy guys out there saying all kinds of things that are unbiblical. But on the other hand, when you get into the article, you see that it's actually maybe even a sideswipe at solid men who are holding to a biblical dispensationalism and biblical prophetic teaching.
David, let me suggest this. I think it would be helpful to break this down a little bit. Give us a definition of Zionism.
Zionism is something that actually grew out of the 1800s. There were secular Jews living in Central and Eastern Europe who were faced with growing anti-Semitism, and they began to think that there needed to be a homeland for the Jewish people since they had been displaced since Jerusalem was destroyed in 70 AD. And so Zionism is simply Jewish people looking for a Jewish homeland. Again, it happened in the 1800s as the Ottoman Empire was beginning to wane, because the Ottoman Empire was actually in control of what at that time was called Palestine.
Yes, and what do we look at when we look at the Ottoman Empire? In 1917, the British forces under Allenby brought down the Ottoman Empire. They surrendered to the United Kingdom at that point in time, and that was the end of the Ottoman Empire. In fact, earlier, 1897, they had a Zionist Congress in Basel, Switzerland. And there the word Zionism became very popular when Theodor Herzl brought to the fore and discussion with the Jewish leaders from all over the world the fact that they should be focused on trying to return to Zion, i.e. Jerusalem, as you were just talking about. But now let's take it a step further. How would you define Christian Zionism then?
Well, that's interesting, too. It developed along almost a parallel track in roughly the same time frame, but wasn't originally connected. And it came out of what we would consider a restoration of biblical dispensationalism, beginning with John Nelson Darby. I don't think he began it. I think Paul began it, but I would say a restoration. And what happened is, even when you get into the late 1800s with some prophecy conferences, people began seeing that the promises made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, made by God concerning a homeland, a permanent land for the Jewish people, were still in effect. And so Christians who took the Bible seriously, began to see that, yes, this is what is actually a part of biblical prophecy. And so a Christian Zionism, a call for a land for the Jewish people, began to develop in a parallel way.
You know, it's interesting you use the name Paul. You were talking, of course, about the Apostle Paul, in case people were thinking you were referring to somebody in the 1800s. But I always use that phrase. Somebody says, well, when did this idea of the rapture come into existence? I say about 2,000 years ago, when Paul wrote to the people in Thessaloniki, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 13 to 18, and that's when it came about. So then let's continue our discussion, though, along this line. It would be the exact opposite of anti-Israel sentiment, often found in replacement and or covenant theology, which is connected to what we discussed last week. And the pro-Israel stance that you and I hold to comes directly from our dispensational theology. Now, very briefly, David, if you will, explain traditional dispensationalism and why it is biblical to be pro-Israel.
Well, simply put, we see that the God has done different things in different times in his program as he has carried his program forward to establish his kingdom of righteousness first here on the earth and then in all of eternity. So, for example, things before and after the fall were different. Things before God called Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees to establish a nation of Israel, those things were different after that happened than they were before that. When God gave the law to Moses, things changed some. And then from Moses till when Christ died on the cross, after Christ died and the church began in Acts chapter 2, things are different. So we see different things at different times. Now, this all goes back to the idea, or this supports the idea, that God made promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob concerning land, descendants, and blessing, and all the nations of the earth would be blessed through him. So it's biblical to be pro-Israel because those were unconditional, unilateral, eternal covenants that God made to Abraham and then later to David, which is based upon that, the land covenant at the end of Deuteronomy, and then even the new covenant in Jeremiah 31 and Ezekiel 36. Those are all focused on Israel, and they are all eternal.
And basically, that's our bottom line, as we are believing that God does have a plan he's going to complete with the Jewish people. Now, coming to this new Christian Zionism, how is it different from the traditional pro-Israel view?
Well, as I look at this article and this group of men that pointed out these things, we would say that the Jews and Christians form two different peoples of God within the broad scheme of God's program, and that God's promises to Israel concerning a land and how he will deal with them, both now and in the future, is different than how he will deal with the church, who is to be the bride of Christ, with the Jewish nation being a kingdom of priests. And so the relationship in the kingdom and the functions are different. But one of the things that I see in this article is that there is a blurring of this fact. In fact, here's a quote from one of the authors of this new Zionism. He said, "So consequently, a Jewish believer today is part of God's plan and purpose in the consummation for the Jewish people. A Gentile believer today is part of God's plan and purpose for Gentile peoples." Now, that means that they're conflating Jewish Christians, in other words, ethnic Jews who are believers. They're saying that they also have a function in the kingdom that is for the Jews, but that's not true. Paul says in Ephesians 2 that there is neither Jew nor Gentile in Christ. So in the church, before God, you have Christians, and those who are ethnically Jews are Christians. So they're confusing this whole issue.
Well, I think what you just referred to in Ephesians is key. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11 and following talks about two people at enmity with each other, the Jews and the Gentiles, a wall of partition between them. But with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, he takes that wall out and makes two people one. And that's what you said, no more Jew, no more Gentile, simply Christians. A very, very important aspect of the Bible teaching that Paul gives to us for today that helps us to understand really what is going on. Well, then this seems to represent a compromise with the view that historically has been held by many evangelicals. And I guess we might expect this considering some of the men who are promoting this new Christian Zionism.
Well, that's true. In the article, it notes a conference where there were a number of speakers, and two of the speakers in this conference on this particular issue were two men named Daryl Bach and Craig Blazing. Daryl Bach at Dallas Seminary, Craig Blazing at Southwestern, also in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And they are the ones who popularized and developed what is called progressive dispensationalism, which is a departure from historical traditional dispensationalism. And so what is happening is that historical lines that we would hold to, that were defined and expounded upon by men like John Wolvert and Dwight Pentecost and Charles Ryrie, it's not a development of dispensationalism, it's a departure from dispensationalism.
Well, you mentioned the progressive dispensationalism. Many people ask me what it's all about. It's pretty difficult to explain. Can you give us a definition of what we're talking about here and some of the key differences between progressive dispensationalism and traditional dispensationalism.
Well, it's right. It's hard to define. It's easier to talk about the differences than it is to give a clear, concise definition, but the differences do define it. And here's a couple of them that are very important. One is we hold to a literal, grammatical, historical hermeneutic. They would add to that that they hold to a complementary hermeneutic, which means that you can take Old Testament passages, and they believe that the New Testament gives new and additional or sometimes even different meanings than the Old Testament. If you do that and try to interpret the Old Testament in light of the New Testament, that puts you right in the camp where covenant theologians are. They use the New Testament to interpret the Old. So it's a hermeneutical difference. Another key difference is, whereas covenant theology would say that there is no distinction between Israel and the church, progressive dispensationalism blurs the lines, and so you can't even see clearly what the differences are between Israel and the church as traditional dispensationalism. And then finally, a major difference is that progressive dispensationalists hold that Christ is currently ruling right now from the throne of David in heaven, and that the kingdom has been inaugurated or begun, and we're in a sort of a phase of the kingdom. We would say that the throne of David is never in heaven. It's always on the earth. It will be in the rebuilt temple in Jerusalem, and there is no form of the kingdom present and will not be until Christ returns as described in Revelation 19.
I tell you, it sounds a little bit like the progressive dispensationalists are trying to bring covenant theology and dispensational theology together. That seems to be the slippery slope, and thus, and let me ask you two questions. How widespread is progressive dispensationalism, and am I correct? Is it a problem?
Well, let me deal with the problem issue. Let me put it this way. The covenant theologians are happy with progressive dispensationalism, and they believe that they're moving in the right direction, and traditional dispensationalists see it as a problem. That tells you all you need to know right there. Concerning how widespread it is, you know, I'm a graduate of Dallas Theological Seminary, and it is a great school, and it's historically been a great school. However, there are many, many progressive dispensationalists on staff now, and those graduates are going out into the churches, and it's also influencing other institutions, particularly colleges, Christian colleges and seminaries, and it's becoming more and more of a problem as in this widespread movement toward covenant, embracing covenant theology.
So then this new Christian Zionism, along with progressive dispensationalism, are just more examples of a steady movement away from the clear biblical teaching in our church today.
You're exactly right. When you start blurring the lines between Israel and the church, you start falling into the same traps that lead to what we talked about last week and have talked about, and that is anti-Israel sentiment in the church. If you don't make these clear distinctions and you believe that God is fulfilling these promises literally, including for a land, a place for the Jewish people where and Christ will establish his kingdom and fulfill those promises, it opens up the whole Bible to being misinterpreted and misunderstood.
Wow, what a very important conversation that we've had today. And folks, if you've been eavesdropping on this conversation, you may want to re-listen to what we had to say. Go to my website, prophecytoday.com. Go to PTRN. We'll have posted the conversation that I just had with David James. And may I suggest, call a friend and tell them they need to listen to it as well. Well, David, I know you're off to Hungary. We want to wish you Godspeed as you go. Have a great ministry over there, and have Journey's Mercies, buddy. Thank you.
Thanks so much.